ask for. We're going to have a good time in the Lord this morning. We're going to have a good time in the Lord this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Acts 12. And we're going to start with the very first verse. Man, you have no rival, Lord. Hallelujah. Man, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Wow. Yes. It's easy to forget that sometimes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's easy to forget. Yeah. But now and forever, God, you reign. So Acts 12 and 1. The title of the message is, Where Are the Dreamers? All right, see, a lot of times when in church, when you hear about dreamers and vision, we're talking about Joseph, right? A lot of times that's what people preach out of. We're going something, going places a little bit different this morning. Acts 12 and 1, have it say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so I was thinking about dreams, and I was thinking about back when we were children. Think about all the possibilities that you thought could happen in life when you were a kid. It was a lot easier to dream back then. Yeah. You know, so many things existed. Like if you were talking to a kid right now, you would say you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. But when we get grown up, I think we forget how to dream. I think a lot of times we forget that dream. See, it applies to a kid, but a lot of times we don't treat it like it applies to an adult.
Amen.
So this morning, we're trying to figure out where are the dreamers. Amen? So I want you to think about this. We're about to go through a story here, and we're really going to be going through each verse. But in this story we're going through, your dreams, they represent James and Peter. Okay, so in this story we're going through, keep that in mind, that James and Peter represent your dreams. Amen? Yeah. I mean, we'll get to who you represent a little bit later in the story. Okay, so the very first verse of Acts 12 and 1, it says, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed the brother, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. See, sometimes we kill our dreams. I know ain't nobody ever here ever killed a dream before. Sometimes we see, sometimes things happen and we just give up on a dream. You know? See, it's easier to kill a dream than it is to pursue one. See, if you kill a dream, you won't be disappointed if you don't reach it. Like, maybe that wasn't really meant for me to really do. So it's easy. We just kind of pass things off like that. See, it's easy. See, people say they'll do things, and they don't do them. And we start to think, man, people just disappointed. See, sometimes we think we need other people for our dreams, and they don't do what they have to do. We're like, man, that ain't no good dream. So we just say we're done. Sometimes, whether purposely or inadvertently, we also kill other people's dreams. Oh, okay, ain't nobody ever done that before. Yeah, ain't nobody ever done that before. Sometimes we do that inadvertently, and sometimes we do it purposefully. You know, sometimes we reflect on our dreams, and we just start to think they're a little bit unrealistic for where we are today. So we decide we're going to kill them. Okay?
Yeah.
And then we go to verse 3. It says, And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. See, killing a dream is easy, but we can't kill them all. You know, we can't kill all our dreams. So what do we do to some of them? We lock them up to die another day. You know? So sometimes we just imprison that dream. And we say, you know what? We'll get to you later. See, killing dreams is one way we cope with the ups and downs of life. And it's also a way we imprison them by saying, hey, we have some hope for the future, but today I'm not going to worry about it. See, I've had dreams before, and I've killed dreams before, and I've imprisoned dreams before, because it's easier to do that. And see, we're talking about Herod. He saw that it pleased the Jews. It will please your flesh to kill a dream. Because you don't have that disappointment lurking later on. You will feel relieved. People come up to you asking, hey, what happened to this story you wanted to open? You're like, no, I'm done with that, man. I ain't want to do that, you know. People, you know, just messed up. Man, you know how the government is. Man, they take all our stuff. I ain't getting involved in that. We just start making up all kind of stuff.
Right.
You know? Oh, no, man, I looked into it. No, that wasn't cool, you know? I'm like, hey, you want to sing? Oh, no, man, I got a real job. I ain't dealing with that. See, we imprison our dreams, and sometimes things happen to us, and we decide, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to verse 4, because it's really going to talk about how we imprison things. It says, and when he had apprehended him, he's talking about, this is Herod apprehending Peter, your dream, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring forth the people. See, we lock our dreams up so good, it ain't no getting out. When Herod locked Peter up, it was 16 soldiers watching him. He in jail. 2 people are chained to him while he in jail, and 2 people outside standing guard. You done done your dream like that. You done locked that thing up where you done had it surrounded. There were 16 people that rotated to hold this dream, your dream, back and locked it down. See, there are various reasons why we lock them up. Maybe you made a bad choice before and you feel like you're not worthy. Maybe depression has set in, anxiety. All these things imprison our dreams. We sometimes feel like we lack the thing in our lives to be able to make the dream come true. Well, maybe I'm not good enough. See, I don't know if this ever happened to you before, but it happens to people all the time where they look inside and feel like maybe it's something preventing them. You know, I often talk about my family when I preach, and one of my aunts, I preached about her before, she's here this morning, but it's not her turn this time, it's my uncle's turn. And he happens to be here. See, I didn't tell him this because I figured he wouldn't come if I said something to him. So I was like, I ain't gonna tell him. It ain't your turn now. It's your turn now, Uncle. You know, my uncle, and I don't know all the facts because I didn't want to start asking him because I didn't want him to start get curious about why I was asking him. But in his late 30s or early 40s, he lost his sight, a good portion of it. That's a physical ailment that will kill your dream. But one thing I was impressed about my uncle, he never stopped believing he was going to see it.
Come on now.
And guess what? His sight is better and better each and every day. But think about the dreams that you have that maybe your physical ailment stops you from thinking that you can reach. Maybe you had a baby earlier. Maybe that there's something wrong with your body. It's easy to start to think that we won't get to our dreams. Sometimes you can do everything right and be in just a bad place.
Yeah.
And guess what? It feels like those dreams are just unreachable. But we need dreamers in the church.
Amen.
We need dreamers.
Amen.
We have to give you have to give God a chance to show out.
Yeah.
You got to give him a chance to show up. See, sometimes you can fool yourself and think like, man, ain't no way I could ever do this. Ain't no way I could ever get out. Ain't no way I can. I've done too much. I've done too much wrong to people. It ain't no way. Man, this Bible is full of people who just messed up all the time.
Amen.
And God stepped in and restored them, even their dreams. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Look at this picture. She has the same skin condition I do. It's called vitiligo. Now, if I told you I was going to be a model, you'd probably say, no, you ain't got it, brother. And that's fine. That ain't a dream of mine. That's cool. But if I told you I was going to be a head model, you like, bro, you about bottom gloves, right? But this is an actual model.
Amen.
Now, that don't look like what you think a model would be. You might say, oh, she's pretty or whatever. But guess what? Think about where she went to school and all this other kind of stuff. People will hold you down and hold you back.
Yeah.
See, now it takes something when you don't have that skin condition. It takes something to look in the mirror and be proud. When you got that, you got to really step up and dig deep. But see, God can help you with your dreams regardless. He can use things that you think are against you for you.
Yes.
Let's go to verse 5. It says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, for prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. See, your dreams may be locked up, but there are people praying for you.
Amen.
See, it don't feel like people praying for you because we like to focus on all the negative things. But, you know, your prayer, people praying for you is probably in places you wouldn't even imagine.
Right.
That might be somebody praying for you in some other state or some other country, and they don't know why, but God is impressing upon their heart for them. See, it's a lot easier for us to see the potential in other people, so it's easier for us to pray for them and their dreams. We like, oh, but they're more talented to me, so God, just bless them. You know, and there's people praying for you all the time. See, it's a lot since we view ourselves with a distorted lens, and we stop dreaming the dreams that are necessary. The church needs dreamers. The church absolutely needs dreamers. You know, I was reading about Oprah this week. At the age of 9, she was sexually abused. Man, you a kid, man. At the age of 9. From between 9 and 14, all kind of sexual abuse from family members to friends to her mom. That's enough to make somebody not want to dream, man. It's enough to if you allow that to, it's enough to hinder you. You're like, God, I'm a kid. I ain't done nothing wrong, and this is how you treated me? See, people start giving up on their dreams. They start giving up on God when things like that happen to them. But see, it was the church that helped Oprah achieve her goals. It gave her something to believe in. She went to church and they said, you are special. Now, when things are happening to you outside of home and then you come to church, you know, it takes God. And it takes speaking life and other people for them to be able to do things. And see, by 14, she had a baby, and the baby died as an infant. It was premature. I know Oprah ever had any kids, but she did. She did. Now imagine that. By the age of 14, this is what happened to her. Man, you can get down on people. You can get down on mom, grandma, dad, everybody else. And you can start to shut people out. And some of us in our lives, we start to do that as well. We start to look at these things that have happened to us and we say, I cannot do what I want to do. And that dream we have, we've imprisoned it or killed it. But see, Oprah, because she went to church, and I'm not saying church is the end-all, be-all. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is in her life, that was the thing that helped spark her and be able to give her something to be able to hold on to. And so she went to church and then she started doing good in school and she went to college and then she got on TV and then she got fired because they said she wasn't fit for TV. Basically, it was telling her she was too big to be on TV.
Yep.
Imagine that. Man, you done worked hard. Now, she was a Miss Black Tennessee, so she had her figure at one point, and then she added on a little weight. And think about how that might make you feel sometimes when you're not who you used to seeing in the mirror is not there. And it might be like that in your life, but we still have to dream.
Amen.
I couldn't imagine if she had stopped dreaming.
Amen.
What that would have done. But yet, it's okay for us to stop dreaming. We say, well, it's only, well, that's Oprah. She's special. She didn't feel special being sexually abused. She didn't feel special being fired.
Right. Amen.
She didn't. And your dreams are worth dreaming. See, you might have a physical ailment like my uncle that you ain't have nothing to do with. But guess what? You still got a dream. He still dreams.
Amen.
I love that. We have to.
Now,
we're going to read verses 6 and 7 together. It says, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. See, I told you in the beginning your dreams were Peter and they were James. But I didn't tell you who you were in this story. And you're the king, Herod.
Come on now.
See, you've imprisoned your own dreams. You know, it's funny. Pastor Keys was talking in a bad Bible study about colors this morning. He was talking about purple being royalty. And I looked down and I said, yeah, that's right. But sometimes we like this king and not the one we should be representing.
Amen.
You know, we like this king that, you know, the thing about Herod that you got to understand is that his uncle beheaded John the Baptist.
Right.
See, he was doing what he saw.
Right.
Whatever. And sometimes with our dreams, that's what we do. We started to see people in our family, people we look up to, and they don't achieve their dreams, and we start to say, well, Maybe I have to have a different lot in life. Amen. See, in spite of your dream gets life. See, there's no way Peter could have thought he was getting out of a predicament with two people bound to him and two people at the door. See, God has opened up an opportunity for you in your life. Maybe your boss left the company. You know, maybe that all of a sudden you have some insight. Maybe your sight has gotten better. Maybe that physical ailment feels better.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason, the chains of your dream has been removed. But a lot of times we don't see it like that. Guess what we say? Man, it's too good to be true. Man, I know, every time something good happens, this ain't going to last long, man. Something bad bound to happen. It always happened like this for me. See, because we play the role of the king in here, we forget our dreams.
Amen.
We need dreamers in the church. We need people that are going to stand on God's word and still believe and dream.
Yes.
See, guess what? Your dreams might be locked up right now, but God can come in and loosen you.
Yeah.
Now, this is where the story gets interesting to me. Let's go to verse 8. It says, "And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." See, when our chains are free, if we think it's God, we want to take off like a rocket. But God didn't have him take off like a rocket. Now imagine, you just got broken out of jail. The natural instinct is like, let's run. Let's go. What we waiting on? But God prepared Peter for the journey. He said, put those sandals on. I bet he was thinking like, I don't need to run right now. I can go. We can get, look, barefoot. We can get in here. He said, put your clothes on. See, we think it's not God because it's slower than we think it should happen. So he could easily be like, you know what? If this was God, I would be putting on my sandals and stuff. I'm out of here. God, teleport me somewhere. See, we think we know God. We think we want to tell God how to do things. See, the preparation for things is annoying and causes us to say things like, I knew it wouldn't last. See, guess what? You start putting on your sandals and you start putting on your stuff. You start, man, I'm going to get caught. Man, I'm going to get caught coming out of here messing around. I'm putting on my sandals and whatever. See, that's how we start to feel about dreams in our life. That's what we do. We like, this ain't right. This ain't right. But guess what? Just because you see it a certain way doesn't mean that's how God's going to do
it.
That's right. When I was little, I was convinced that my little brother was going to the play in the National Football League. He was good. I mean, he was good all the way from a little kid on up. He was good. And I was convinced that he was going to be in the NFL. Now, my brother never made it to the NFL, but see, you know what? You'll know what your dreams are if you're still pursuing, because maybe the way he saw himself going is a different way, but maybe he goes as a coach, or maybe he goes as something different. See, you might think the impossible lot lives in your dreams right now, but God can find a way to make a way to help your dreams come true. Amen?
Amen.
I wish we had some dreamers in the church. I want you to look at verse 9 with me. It says, "And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel." He thought he saw a vision. See, at this point, Peter didn't even know that it was God. He thought he was still dreaming. See, that's what it's like in your life. God done made a way for you. He done moved all the stuff out of the way, and you still think, well, maybe it ain't God. Maybe it ain't so. We need some dreamers in the church. See, but we start to think, man, shame on what I've done in the past. Shame on all this negative stuff. We have shame and depression and anxiety and all the bad things. And we say, this is not true. This cannot be. This cannot be that I'm going out of here. He thought he saw a vision. We even started to question on whether or not we deserve our dream or not.
Yeah.
You know, you don't lock that thing up and it's out. You're like, man, I don't even know if I deserve this, man. You remember I done stole from so-and-so and I done, you know, cussed so-and-so out and all that kind of stuff. I can tell you what, if cussing out was a criteria, would none of my dreams come true, because I know you talk about you as a kid. I was a grown-up, every other word, like whatever. Michelle, you know, listen, ain't no shame in mine. I'm telling you like it was. Right?
Amen.
So, but we started to harken back on that stuff, and we like, man, I don't deserve it. I don't do this. I don't do that. But the church needs dreamers.
Amen.
You know, when I was in corporate America, people would often, you know, they would request a meeting with me, and they'd be like, you know, how did you do it? You know, how did you do it? What did you do? And they got a notebook and whatever, and they're ready to write down. They're looking for step by step on how to get where it is that they're going. See, if the church had more dreamers, we would be able to draw people in. Instead of always having to go out and browbeat them, we'd be able to draw them in, because they sit down and say, how'd you do it? And then that gives you a chance to talk about Jesus and how awesome he is and what he's done for you. Instead of feeling shame and questioning how you deserve it, we need dreamers. Let's talk about the first part of verse 10. It says, and when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them on its own accord. See, at this point, the dream was still captive. Peter was still captive at this point in verse 10. See, now let's read the rest of verse 10. It says, and they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. You notice before Peter got to his ultimate destination, the angel left him. See, now, what you need to understand about that is it wasn't just breaking out of prison. Peter also had work to get done. See, God doesn't do the part that you can do yourself. Your faith has to rise up.
Right?
See, now the angel didn't take him all the way to his destination. See, you think it's not God with your dream because you're like, okay, I'm out here. But see, God prepared him. That's why he had his sandals on.
Yeah, that's why
he got decent. See, when God does that for you, when he done prepared you, right? And it feels like you're alone sometimes. Because the destination's not over, but you have to do something for yourself. God is looking for dreamers that'll finish what he started. See, we get to the point, we want God to take us all the way there. If we was Peter in our dreams, we going to sit down and find a chair like, God, what's up? Where we going? Where does the angel at? Come back. Well, you got to put on your own sandals and start walking.
Yes.
You got to put on your own sandals and start moving forward.
Yes.
How bad do you want your dream?
Amen.
How bad do you want it?
Amen.
The church needs more dreamers. We can't make God do all the work.
That's right. That's
we got to walk. And we got to do our thing. So what? You want a new job? Apply for one.
There you go.
We like, God, if it's your will, you know what? You would have somebody come from heaven and bless me with a job. Sometimes you got to do something to get something.
Come on, man.
The church need dreamers. See, we need people that are going to hold fast to their dreams. The people that will say, you know what? I'm not going to give up. Because a little bit of adversity. See, now you done came through prison. You done came through all this stuff. But guess what? It's easy to feel like that you don't want to keep moving.
That's right.
It's easy to do that. Because guess what? We start to think it ain't God. We like, man, if it was God, we'd be good. If it was God, then he would have taken me all the way there. And so guess what we do? We imprison our dreams again. We put them back where they started. See, we just go in a circle. Now in verse 11, I'm going to read a few verses here, all the way down to 16. It says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of surety that the Lord has sent his angel. See, it took him getting out. He didn't know for certain what he was going through. But when he got out, he said, now I know for surety that the Lord has sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod, in this case yourself, from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. It says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. See, sometimes people are going to be together praying for you, right? And you might not believe that's going to happen, but we don't get there on our own. See, there's people there that were praying for Peter.
Uh-huh.
It says, and as Peter knocked at the door Oh, man, something's wrong with the slide. Sorry about that. I'll turn that off. It says, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. It says, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. They're like, it's his angel. It ain't him. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. See, even the people that are praying for you will doubt if you can get to where you're going. They might be praying for you, and they will still have doubt if you can get there. See, you can let that discourage you even more. Would this stop you from walking? Seeing your dreams will take place. See, your dreams will take place, and people will never imagine that you could have done it. But it will require you to keep moving forward. See, when the door is finally open, will you give God the glory? See, Peter could have stopped knocking. See, a lot of times we stop knocking right before we get what God has for us. We like, maybe it wasn't God. Maybe these people ain't praying. Maybe they ain't doing what they have to do. Maybe this, maybe that. We have to keep dreaming. And we got to keep walking. And we got to keep moving forward. We have to give God a platform to be able to show out in our lives. Amen. We got to give God opportunity to be able to show out in our lives. You know, it's just amazing to me that after Peter gets out of prison, and after he walks this journey, after the angels left him, that he continued to move forward and he continued to do God's will. Will you do the same thing? Will you keep dreaming? Will you, that dream that you done had, and that you done dusted, you know, got dust all on, will you let that dream go? Will you open it? Will you not imprison that dream?
Come on now.
Last thing I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to be closing. You know, I'm always fascinated by people and their dreams. Because I think we give up on our dreams so easily, and we don't give God a chance. But it's time for us to unlock our dreams. To be able to let God work through us, but it's time for us also to do some work on our own.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
We got to stop blaming all these people. Yeah, you got a million reasons not to dream, but you got one reason to dream.
Amen.
And that's God.
Yeah.
You can have a million reasons not to dream, but you got one reason to dream, and that's God.
Amen. Amen.
There's a lady named Carmen Herrera. She's a Cuban-American, and she was a dreamer. She was a painter, okay? Now, the thing about her, she started painting at the age of 8, and by the age of 12, she was taking all these lessons. She said, I'm going to be a painter. She moved to Paris to paint, and she was with artists like Pablo Picasso. You know, and some other names I couldn't pronounce. I know Picasso. I don't know much about art. She was very good. Everybody would tell her how great her art was. They would say, man, your art is wonderful. And guess what? She never even sold a painting. She moved to Paris and wanted to be a famous artist. And she took steps and kept moving forward. And she didn't sell a painting. See, unlike the other people around her, she was a woman, and she was Cuban, and in those days, it just wasn't happening. Right. People were like, no, you might be good at this, but you're a woman and you're Cuban, this is not happening right now. So she went to Paris in the early 1950s, and she kept painting, even though she didn't sell anything. She didn't sell anything at 40. She didn't sell up any art at age 50. Most of us would have given up at that point. In fact, she didn't even sell anything when she was 60, 70, or at 80. But she kept painting and painting and painting, and she was committed to her art. She said, I know my dream. I'm going to keep pursuing it. She was committed to her style and her dream. And in 2004, at the age of 89, she sold $1 million worth of paintings. See, you have to be committed to what you're doing. At 89, today she's 104 and still paints every day. goes, man, I was an overnight success at 89. But are you going to pursue your, like, you know, I know it's nice because we look at other people and we look at them pursuing their dreams, but how committed are you to your dreams? Are you committed to moving forward? You're like, I'm not that committed. But guess what? You got a reason to dream. Life is more than just, hey, I'm going to show up, hope things work out okay. You know, we've reduced our dreams so much. We start off like we tell the kids, and our dreams sky high. You can do anything. And we get older and older and older, and we like, oh, man, I'd just be happy with a little bit of something. I'd be happy with a little bit of something. But the church needs dreamers. Because dreamers are going to draw people in to the house of God. We need you to dream. We need you to believe. And we, you know, we in church, we say so much, God, you can do anything, but I don't think we believe it in our own lives. We like, God, you can do anything, but just not my life. You can do it for other people. Ain't God good? Yes, he is. And guess what, God? I just want a little bit. We start dreaming less and less and less. We've imprisoned our dreams so much that we just don't pursue it. But God is looking for a people who will rise up and who will pursue their dreams. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's give them some hands. Let's give them a hand clap of praise. The church needs dreamers. We do. We need people that are going to pursue the things that they do. And just because it doesn't work out the way you want it to, the way you think God should have did it, doesn't mean that it's not a dream that you can still pursue. We just got to stop giving up so easy. We got to stop giving up to the things we want to accomplish. It's time for us to, those dreams that are dead, it's time for us to revive them. And those dreams that we've imprisoned because of things that we've done, and those other the dreams of other people that we've killed, it's time for us to revive them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand this morning.
Amen.
You know, if you're here this morning, and I'm going to ask that you close your eyes this morning. And I really want you to just be honest with what's going on in your life. And if you know that you have not pursued your dreams like you should, if you know that God put a dream in your heart, you had a dream, and that you've imprisoned it, or that you haven't done what you had to do, but you want to, you know, revive it, I want you to slip your hand up in there.